This is a voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, old trailblazer, coming out here this morning, introducing the message, God's message by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton. The message you will hear shortly is, the depraved sinner in the market for salvation. That's what I was one day, a poor, totally depraved sinner. And when the Lord awakened me, put me in that market, for salvation. I hope you'll stay tuned and hear this message. It's by our late pastor. And we'll give you the mailing address at the close of the message. Holler over the back fence right quick and tell your neighbor that old Parson Shelton's on the radio. And then I'll be back in a little bit and give you the mailing address.
I want us to look at this morning at that sinner who, in his depraved condition, who is in God's market buying salvation without money and without price. You ever see a sinner in the market buying salvation without money and without price? That seems a contradiction, doesn't it? All right, listen to Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. We have here the picture of a merchant selling his wares, or more correctly, we have here the picture of a man out in the desert bargaining with travelers who are crossing the burning desert, thirsty and hungry. And as the seller sees him coming, he cries out, ho, 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 everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Then we see the thirsty traveler bargaining with the merchant for just one drink of water, and what a price he pays for it. But this invitation that Jehovah Jesus gives to thirsty sinners is, ho, come without money and without price. Ho, come, buy, yet bring no money. Many of you to whom I am speaking now were once thirsty sinners. Once you were starving to death and you heard the invitation, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And you came, you drank, and you're still drinking. Yes, you heard the Lord Jesus one day cry out, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And you have never ceased praising God that you did come one day. I wish that every thirsty sinner out there in radio land, here in these studios, would hear this invitation spoken from the lips of our blessed Lord. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Sinner, why will you die in your sins when security in Christ is worth infinitely more than fine gold? To be protected by divine wisdom is the portion of believers in Christ. To be saved and made safe in Christ is worth more than worlds. Let me ask you this question. As the storm clouds are gathering and judgment is coming, are you hid in the wounds of Christ? Friends, are you safe under the atoning blood? Have you been accepted in the beloved? There will come a day when you would rather say, I am hidden in Christ, than to own 10 million worlds like this one. You may get mad with me if you want to. That's your privilege. You may turn the message down if you will. But when I stand before the judgment bar of God with you, your blood will not be on my hands. I will not compromise God's message for any man. I'm preaching God's eternal truth and will stake my destiny on it. I can love my friends and love my enemies. I have nothing in my heart against any man. It matters little what you do with me, but your destiny hangs on what you do with the truth I preach and the Christ that I exalt. Now let us notice the description or the picture of such a sinner that God saves. Let us study his photograph taken by the sunlight of heaven. It says, listen, he that hath no money. Let us repeat those words. He that hath no money. We see here a picture of a poor, penniless, broken down creature reduced to the extremity of want. He hath no spiritual money to buy with. Did you know that only those who realize they have no money are those whom God invites to come to Christ for salvation? God invites only those whose pockets are empty. He invites only those who are penniless. He invites only those who are spiritually bankrupt to receive the riches of his grace. He that hath no money. This gives us a picture of a man who has no spiritual money, no gold of goodness, no silver of sanctity. Such a one is invited to come and buy wine and milk of heaven without money and without price. I would that you could hear the voice of Jesus say, "Ho, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water and buy without money and without price." The sinner that Jesus invites to come is the one who sees that he has no natural goodness. No individual can or will come to Christ for salvation who thinks that he has any natural goodness whatsoever. Most of our modern-day preaching tells us that there is some good in all of us. The sinner who gets saved comes to realize that he has no natural goodness and can produce no goodness that God will accept. There is none good, no, not one. And the sinner has got to see that he is depraved and has no goodness before he will heed the invitation to come to Christ alone for salvation. Now, my friend, not so, whether you believe it or not. Listen again. There are those who become members of the church either through infant baptism or by profession in baptism who think they're clean and are saved. But when the Holy Spirit strips that sinner and he sees that all of his natural goodness he thought he had has melted away, and he searches himself through and through and finds that he has not one ray of goodness, then and only then does he come to realize his absolute imperative need of the Lord Jesus Christ. If a sinner never comes to see under the convicting power of God's Holy Spirit that he does not have or cannot produce one ray of goodness, he can never be saved because he will never flee to Christ for salvation. Salvation by grace. Get it now? All right, lay down. Now, you didn't get that. I want you to get this. Now, you lay down that broom there. Just sit down, will you? Just be still just a moment and get this statement. Salvation by grace does not make up any lack in the sinner's life, but supplies everything. Grace supplies everything. Listen again. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. and buy without money and without price. You let that soak in, will you? This is the invitation given to a poor, wretched, depraved sinner who has no righteousness. I wonder if I'm speaking to a poor, wretched sinner who has been stripped of his rags of self-righteousness and has come to see that all of his imaginary righteousness have turned out to be filthy rags. You're sitting there with no righteousness. You hear the invitation. Ho! Ho! And you say, is he speaking to me? Listen, he says, come without money and without price. Come to the waters. Brother, sister, that means you. You may say, preacher, surely God doesn't mean me. I have no righteousness. There was a time I thought I was honest. I can go back to the time when I used to go to church and pray and thought that I enjoyed the presence of God. But now I can only sit here and mourn and cry over the fact that all of my righteousness would not pass in God's market shop for salvation. Well, sinner, the invitation then is to you. You're the sinner that God invites to come. The sinner that sees that all of his good works are nothing but dead works, works of darkness, works of Satan, and they're nothing but an ill odor in the nostrils of God, is the sinner that the invitation is sent to. Don't find many of them, do you? No, you said, I'm a member of such and such a church. I'm all right. I trusted Jesus back under when I was 11 years of age. I'm all right. Well, you know, I go to church. I believe this. You know, I'm a preacher. Or I'm a Bible teacher. You know, they sit under my preaching. But, where have you ever been reduced to utter spiritual poverty? Did you ever come to Christ stripped of all of your self-righteousness? You have nothing to buy with. You have to fall at the feet of Christ as a poor beggar and cry for mercy. You're not saved if you have never seen yourself as a poverty-stricken sinner. The sinner who sees all of his savings of good works melt away and is left with no money to buy with is the sinner that God saves. Friend, the greatest moment in your life is when you see that you have no righteousness that will pass in God's market shop. As long as the sinner thinks he can get by and God will accept him because of his religious works, our religious exercises, or because of what he believes, he will never be saved. Many a sinner thinks and bases his hope of getting saved on what he believes. He will argue like this, well, how can I be lost when I believe all those great truths you're preaching? Brother Sheldon, you're voicing what I believe exactly. Listen, friend, you're not saved by what you believe. I don't mean to discount what you believe. No, but you're not saved by what you believe. You are saved by whom you believe. Christ said, I know whom I have believed. Do you know him? Paul rested his salvation on not what he believed, but on whom he believed, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every sinner who ever gets saved finds himself without any righteousness that God will accept. If you could realize, sinner, that this invitation is to you, then you'd hasten to Christ and find in him a perfect righteousness. You said, preacher, do you know what you're talking about? I do. I've been right there. And I know what the imputed righteousness of Christ is. He that hath no money, listen, reveals that the poor sinner's purchasing power is all gone. The sinner stripped of all of his natural goodness and righteousness, which he thought he had, finds himself spiritually bankrupt. There was a time he could repent, but now he cries, I can't repent. There was a time when he could believe, but now he finds no faith with which to lay hold of Christ. The faith of the flesh is all gone. He once thought that he could lay hold of Christ as his Lord and Savior, but now all that power is gone, and he finds himself unable to believe. The poor sinner is afraid that no blessing of grace can ever be his. He sits there and thinks of his wretched condition. He says, here I am. I have no goodness. I have no righteousness. I have nothing to buy with. If God should sell me one token of righteousness, I don't even have a token to buy it with. I have no money. I would that every radio listener could see himself like that at this moment. I would. I'd praise God to high heaven. Furthermore, this poor sinner sees that all of his stock with which to trade is gone. He says, you know, it takes money to make money, but here I am with nothing to buy with. I am poor. I am penniless. I find myself without any natural goodness. All the righteousness I thought I had has faded away. I have nothing to trade with. I am poor and have no money. I am spiritually bankrupt. Let me stop here and say this. When I was holding a meeting some years ago in a certain city, a nurse who was a technician invited us out for dinner. And in her home, she said, Brother Sheldon, I want to tell you a story. I'm a nurse here in a hospital of mental patients. There's a group that I'm over. I saw this morning, they don't have much mind, if any. There was a group sitting in a corner playing poker. They had a deck of cards. They thought they had, but they didn't. They used imaginary deck of cards. They used imaginary money. They shuffled those cards. They cut those cards. They dealt those cards if they had actual cards. They dealt with money they thought they had. Said it was pathetic to see that group of men sitting on the floor gambling with no cards, no money. They'd sit there and fuss at each other for trying to cheat. And then one fellow would win it all. And he'd gather up the imaginary money he thought he had and put it in his pocket. After a while, the game would be broken up. I said, my dear woman, you've given me an illustration. That's every sinner out of Christ. They think they have a righteousness they don't have. The righteousness they think they have is only imaginary. They gloat in that righteousness. They praise that righteousness. But until the Holy Spirit breaks that soap bubble and they see it's only imaginary, they'll never come to Christ. I said, as a boy, I used to blow soap bubbles. And I said, they looked beautiful. But all at once, they'd melt in midair. And I said, thank God, one day, my self-righteousness melted in midair. And I had nothing. I got mad at Satan. I got so mad at him because he had me blinded. And I thought I had a righteousness I didn't have. And I won't tell you, sinner friend, you this morning have a righteousness that you think you have that you don't have. It's an imaginary righteousness. And if only the Holy Spirit would break that soap bubble and let you see who you are and what you are, all of that so-called self-righteousness would vanish away and you'd see nothing but a corrupt individual with no righteousness and no natural goodness. May God open your heart to see that thing. Do you recognize your picture? I'm giving you your picture. Look at it. Hold it closely to your eyes. Do you not recognize it? I hope you do. Whether you do or not, it's the picture of every sinner that God sends His invitation to. You may say you are talking about somebody else. Surely that is not a picture of me. Well, my friend, if that is the way you're thinking, God has no invitation to you. Christ did not die for you. Christ did not die for good people. Christ did not die for those that had any spark of goodness about them. You'll have to go to hell for your trouble. There's no way out. I have no message for you. There's no invitation to your heart. Christ died for sinners. It's neither this. It's neither that. Christ died for sinners. I can hear the voice of old Brother Joe Grenier almost crying from his grave, saying it's neither this, it's neither that. Christ died for sinners. Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? Then Christ died for sinners. God says to such a sinner, ho, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come, come, for all things are now ready. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come without money and without price. I will let you rest beside the streams of salvation. I will open the fountain of cleansing and let you drink from the rock, which is Christ. Down, sinner! Down at the fountain of salvation, as a poor, thirsty, weary-worn traveler with no righteousness. Down, sinner! Down at the fountain of cleansing from the wounds of the blessed Lord who died for you. I'm pleading for your soul, for your life this morning, and all over Radio Land, as this message goes out over 30 some odd stations. Sinner, yonder in the east, in the north, in the south, and the west, I've come upon the islands. I'm pleading for your soul. Are you a sinner? Christ said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let us go a step further and look at the picture of the sinner that God invites to come to Christ for salvation. This sinner is so stripped until he sees that he has nothing to pay his old sin debt with. His past sins rise up before him. They parade before him like ghosts. And he sees himself so reduced to spiritual bankruptcy that he can only cry out, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, don't you see what a wretch I am? Don't you see that my whole life has been a waste? Preacher, you don't know what a sinner I am, and I have nothing to pay with. I'm bankrupt. I'm broken. I'm penniless. Yet God says to you, sinner, ho, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters and buy, without money and without price. This sinner not only sees that he cannot pay his past sin debt, but as the present flashes before him and adds horror to horror, he sees that he cannot even meet his present obligations. Here I am. I go on sinning. What must I do? What can I do? Poor sinner. He must live. He must eat the bread from heaven. He must drink the water of life. He is dying of thirst. His soul is hungry. Even fainteth after the mercies of God. He is reduced to beggary and cries, I perish with hunger. This poor sinner is in a terrible shape. Personally, I praise the Lord and take courage when I see a sinner so reduced to the extreme. proximity of such rock. And I hold out to you, sinner, the invitation. Oh, oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come ye to Christ. He's waiting for you. Don't you see him coming for you? Don't you see him picking you up and placing you on his shoulders? Don't you see him as he bends over you? Sinner, Christ is able to save. Let's look just a little closer. This sinner faces the future, penniless, broke, poor, and spiritually bankrupt. He not only sees that he has nothing to pay his past sin debt or to take care of his present needs, but he finds himself hopeless as he faces the future. He says, how can I face death? How can I die in the condition I'm in? He now stands in awe of dying, and fear grips his heart as he thinks of the terrible demands on the resurrection morning. How can I stand before God as a judge? To think about going out and meeting God terrifies his heart. How can I stand before God with nothing to meet the demands of the eternal future? Sinner, this is indeed a terrible plight to be in. It is a foretaste of hell. And yet I could praise God to high heaven if ever sinner in these studios and out in radio land were reduced to that state right now. When a sinner is so reduced and brought low, and sees and acknowledge that he has nothing to buy with, it is there and then, and only then, that grace steps in. If salvation is by grace, then it is. Then the sinner has got to see himself depraved, spiritually bankrupt, and acknowledge it, and throw himself on the mercy of God, and look to Christ. Sinner, look! Look! And live is my message to you.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast. And before I forget, let me remind you, it's 3 weeks now till our Fall Fellowship Day. Many of you are familiar with that time. Twice a year, April and October, we have what we call fellowship time. Some people call it revival time. But we have services here a week ahead of that time every night. One of the brethren will speak, revival-type services. And then we come back on a Friday for a good homemade fish supper with catfish and hush puppies and things for folks that come in out of town and had never had anything like that before. Some of our brethren, some of our men cook them and serve them. But it's 3 weeks now till that time. I hope you heard the message. It was the depraved sinner in the market for salvation by the late pastor, L.R. Shelton, Sr. All of these messages that you hear on this broadcast are available on booklet form, little 30-page booklet. You can put in your purse, lady, or put them on your bill in your pocket, man. Give them out to a nursing home. I wish you'd have a flood of that happening. Oh, just a flood of it happening. And I'll give you more information in it tomorrow, next week. Also, remind you that we have a radio Bible and book room here. Write me and I'll send you a catalog. But this is the Old Trailblazer, Pastor Albert Pendarvis, bringing the message to a close. The broadcast, the mailing address, Radio Missions, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785.